93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. That means it's 5:33 to be exact. Hey and Jay Show, Lance, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter joining us today. 359 call, 217-359-2255. It's a way to get a hold of us.
Yeah, and I just got this, ChicagoBreakingSports.com from the Chicago Tribune. The Bears' schedule will be released. I guess they got the scoop. They'll open the season at Soldier Field September 11th against the Falcons.
Ooh, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, so a home game to start off. So it marks only the fourth time in 12 years the Bears will open at home. Then they will travel to New Orleans in week two and return home to host the Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers in week three. Then they go and beat the Carolina Panthers in week four. And then on Monday, October 10th, ESPN's Monday Night Football, they will play the Lions?
Wow, on Monday Night Football?
Detroit, they get a Monday Night Football game.
Good for them.
First time since week three of the 2000...
Matthew Stafford will be hurt by then,
probably. First time since 2001 that they'll have a primetime appearance. Good for Detroit.
Yeah, I agree. Calvin Johnson got some studs there.
Yeah, then October 23rd, they play the Tampa Bay Bucks at London's Wembley Stadium.
Are the Arizona Cardinals on that schedule?
No.
No, they don't play the Bears this year. Let's bring in Adam Harris from Chicago. Adam, you heard it here live, loud and clear. What do you think of the Bears' schedule?
Oh, that's for sure Super Bowl season, right? Is that what we got already?
What do you think of them going to London, honestly? We've got mixed feelings on this. I think it's terrible, but Jeremy likes it. He likes getting the Bears' name out there. What do you think?
I think it's stupid. I just don't see the point. I guess I do see the point. The NFL's trying to, I don't know if they're trying to compete with the idea of soccer across the world,
right.
But I don't understand.
Yeah, Adam, I don't mind it. I don't get it because I think they're trying to get global and football is not a global game. So what is this,
right.
50 years down the line, people are going to like football there? I don't know, but it's not a home game, so yeah. Whatever.
Well, you're doing so well. The NFL's doing so well. It's not like you need to do this.
I guess.
But who knows?
I just think they have other things to figure out first.
Yeah. Right. Oh, by the way. Yeah, we've got that. Yeah. Hey, we're talking Bulls. We're talking some Blackhawks. Let's just get the Blackhawks out of the way.
Yeah, let's just get out of the way.
Because Adam said earlier, you know, I kind of didn't question Adam. I'm not going to question him. But I said, hey, I think the Blackhawks can maybe shock somebody. They're not shocking anybody. Vancouver is dominating them. Adam, is this it tonight, or can they at least salvage a game?
I don't see how they win tonight. The only way I see is if Vancouver kind of checks out and they kind of want to win it at home.
Yeah.
But, you know, we saw that 3-0 comeback last year in the first round of the NHL playoffs, but I just don't see how the Blackhawks even win tonight. They haven't scored a 5-on-5 goal yet, have they?
I don't think
come on, you know, and they're just absolutely getting dominated. And you notice that it's four Blackhawks around the puck, and no one comes up with it. And then the Sedin's off on a breakaway or whatever. It's just very, very bad hockey right now.
Yeah, and I feel like they put Corey Crawford in a bad position because you see him all going for a puck. He looks like Little League out there. They're not organized at all.
No, they're not. And why is Duncan Keith bad? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't get that. He's playing horrible, and he's kind of done this throughout the year where he's behind his net. And I don't know, like, a number one rule of hockey I've known for defensemen is when you're in your own zone, don't pass it in front of your goaltender. And he does that all the time. He turns the puck over like a ton.
Yes.
He turns it over a ton.
Adam Harris from 670 The Score up in Chicago joining us. Talking about Blackhawks, we'll get to some Bulls as well. But Adam, I mean, are fans even upset? Or is this Stanley Cup still, they're savoring this still? And they're like, whatever, we'll get them next year.
No, man, the fans are just happy that the Bulls are awesome. Like, I swear to God, like, they're not upset because we have the Bulls, and thank God for the Bulls, because the White Sox are laying eggs right now, and, you know, the Cubs are a feel-good story right now, but thank God for the Bulls. People are not upset up here because of the Bulls.
That's interesting. My brother lives in Chicago, and he was just home this weekend, and he mentioned that. He said, you know, it's crazy how last year this town was so freaking Blackhawk crazy. And he said, now I hear nobody talking about the Blackhawks. Everybody's talking Chicago Bulls.
It was fake last year. It was very fake. That's, you know, it was great, you know, get everyone on the bandwagon and everything, but a lot of people, you know, you see, you just look on Facebook last year and you just see, like, random girls that you didn't even know they knew what sports were would say, oh, go Blackhawks, you know, like, but it was cool to get lost in and everything.
Isn't that a Cubs game? That just described a Cubs game, I think.
Yeah, you know, and hey, McDonough went from there to the Blackhawks, huh? Maybe he knows how to target girls that don't know anything about sports, but
yeah.
it's just one of those things where now, this year, it's so about the Bulls, and girls and everybody can enjoy basketball.
Yes.
You know, everyone can. And Derrick Rose is just so much fun to watch, and that's a very fun sport to watch.
Well, it has been, but for the Bulls, I mean, this is two of their worst games we've seen in a row, Adam. I feel like if they were to play anyone other than the Pacers, they might want to drop one of these, but you never know with Derrick Rose.
I hate to say this, but the reason that I think they're playing like this these first two games, I think Tom Thibodeau is getting out-coached.
I think so, too. Frank Vogel, his game plan has been unbelievable.
Isn't that insane? Like, I didn't think that could happen based on what I saw during the regular season and how the players buy in. But what Vogel's doing is Rose crosses the half-court line, fine. But then he puts two tall dudes swarming around Rose,
right,
and whether it's Granger with his long arms or what, and Rose can't get the ball off to someone, and the players aren't used to this. You got Brewer and Noah not helping, and they're running their offense, but you can't run an offense if the point guard can't pass you the ball. And then how many turnovers they have yesterday? Over 20, right?
Like 22
or so? Yeah, that's insane. That's an unbelievable amount of turnovers. Now they won the game because they're better, but you can't turn the ball over 22 times in the playoffs.
Yeah, Adam Harris from 670, The Score, joining us talking Bulls. And Adam, what scares me, I think the Bulls will still sweep this series because I think getting away from home will help them a little bit. But what scares me is that Indiana's kind of giving the blueprint of how you guard this Bulls team.
Yeah, I understand. I get what you're saying. Just, I kind of look around the whole league, and, you know, Los Angeles lost their first game, Spurs lost their first game, the Magic lost their first game, and the Thunder had a scare. In the NBA playoffs, it doesn't matter how you win the game. It just matters that you win the game. And, you know, the Heat have kind of been bad, and I'm not scared of the Celtics, like I've said on the show before. Yeah. I used to be, but I'm not. The Magic are nothing. And so it is scary to see, but the fact that Derrick Rose is still putting up 34 a game is pretty awesome.
Adam, do you see a similarity between this series, the Bulls basically reversing roles from where they were 2 years ago as that 8 seed playing a playoff favorite? Now, that Bulls team took the Celtics without Kevin Garnett 7 games. I don't see this going 7. I don't see it going 5. But, well, maybe 5, but that's the most. Do you see a similarity there between this being an upstart Pacers team?
I get what you're saying, but I kind of shy away from that just because they don't have star power like we had, you know. And Rose, I remember, I think it was game one against the Celtics in Boston, dropped like 35 points and did everything by himself and went to overtime. The Bulls ended up losing that game. But that was the hope, where in the NBA you can squeak by some team if you put it all on someone's shoulders. And that's where I see that. Indiana has a lot of great pieces.
Yeah.
I just don't see them having a guy that can take over a game like Rose. I mean, you heard Stacey King last night. He's our closer, and that's exactly what he's been doing. And I didn't think he was going to be this good of a closer this early, but he actually takes the team, puts it on his back with 3 minutes left to go in the game, and says, we're not losing this game.
Adam Harrison, 670, The Score, joining us right now. And Adam, you talked about Tom Thibodeau might be out-coached right now. One thing I questioned yesterday was Derrick Rose was on the bench for about the first 4 or 5 minutes of the first quarter. Is he falling in love with that bench a little bit too much?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's falling in love with it enough in the playoffs, actually. Like, I kind of want to see a little more of Omar Asik. I want to see more of Taj Gibson, which we're going to see now. You saw how he was playing offense-defense with Boozer and Gibson. And I think that the bench is fine. The one thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see C.J. Watson throwing up three-pointers for no reason. You know, I don't want to see C.J. Watson really play as much as he has been. That's one person, because I think I'd rather see Bogans out there. And I think Bogans is a little more calm. He's a little more collected, and I think he makes better decisions. We've seen it in the past, and they've talked about it on our station, the Boards and Bernstein show. They've said, like, T.J. Watson will see Rose is coming in the game, and he'll just kind of shoot a three just because he's about to come out of the game.
He knows he's coming out.
Right? You know, and we don't need that. Like, and he did that in game one. He did that. He dribbled up the court and just chucked a three. I think that's the only guy, but as far as the rest of the bench, I think that the rest of the bench is being played not enough.
Adam, what do you think of Carlos Boozer? I said it on the show earlier a couple minutes ago. I've never been so disappointed in a 17-point, 16-rebound performance just because for 12, 15 minutes, he disappeared. And the Bulls paid him to be an all-star kind of caliber player. And I just feel like the effort isn't there. Right. And I just feel like the explosiveness. I know he's never had it. I know he's going to give bad defense. But just on offense, he's got to be a bigger player.
He's big enough to and strong enough to dominate the Pacers down low. And there was a possession yesterday where Rose was on the bench, and the Bulls kind of needed a bucket. And C.J. Watson dipped it down to Boozer on the block. And Boozer took two dribbles, posting up, and gave it right back to Watson, and Watson ended up having to take a bad shot. And I don't understand why Boozer passes that ball. He's the guy on the court at that point that needs to score. When Rose is on the bench, you look to Boozer, and Boozer can do that. He can lower his shoulder and get inside and get a layup. He just doesn't. And I don't want to call it laziness because I have not, you know, I'm not in a locker room. I don't know if he's being lazy.
Right.
But it looks like laziness, and maybe that's just how he is. When we got him, I knew he was bad defensively.
Right. Yeah.
But I didn't think he was a lazy, kind of soft player. He's kind of soft.
Yeah, you figured he's a dookie, you know? He was a guy who was
huge.
Right.
Right. I don't understand why he's soft. That's what I don't get.
Well, Adam Harris, thank you for joining us today. I'm going to let you go and try to find that White Sox offense because it's killing Jeremy right now.
Oh, yo, Jeremy, calm down, man. It's going to get warm, and this team is going to put up so many runs.
Alexi Ramirez will show up.
Yes.
Alexi Ramirez will show up, and I'm just waiting because a lot of people are hating on Adam Dunn around here. You get the phone calls where it's like,
this guy, all he does
is strike out, you know? And I'm like, oh,
he also hits 40 home runs a year.
And walks 100 times a year.
Exactly. And Starlin Castro still, I like that kid. He's good.
Have you seen him? Have you seen him yet not hit a ball hard?
I agree.
Even his outs, every out is hit hard.
Totally. I remember watching a game, two straight, I think, line outs to the second baseman, and they were just bullets. Like,
right?
Wow.
And those are outs in the book, but like he doesn't have a bad at bat, and he's only 20.
Oh, he's good. He is going to be so good for so long with the Cubs. Adam Harris, 670 The Score. Thanks, my man. We appreciate you coming on and keeping us updated. And I'm sure we'll have you back on as the Bulls continue and maybe the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
We'll see about tonight. Enjoy it tonight, okay?
Exactly. I want to hear that. Just one more time, my man.
One more. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam. That is Adam Harris, 670 The Score.
Always fun to join him. We'll be back on the T&J Show. You can give us a call, 359-CALL, 217-359-2255.
T&J Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.